and with much preliminary application to his body of the chilly water, and much grunting and loud breathing, floundered a minute in the sea. When he had gone, beach and bay were quiet for an hour. Merchantmen crawled westward on the horizon. Busboys shouted in the hotel court. The dew dried upon the pines. In another hour, the horns of motors began to blow down from the winding road along the low range of the Morez, which separates the literal from true Provençal France. A mile from the sea, where pines give way to dusty poplars, is an isolated railroad stop, whence one June morning in 1925, a Victoria brought a woman and her daughter down to Gasset's hotel. The mother's face was of a fading prettiness that would soon be patted with broken veins. Her expression was both tranquil and aware in a pleasant way. However, one's eye moved on quickly to her daughter, who had magic in her pink palms and her cheeks lit to a lovely flame, like the thrilling flush of children after their cold baths in the evening. Her fine forehead sloped gently up to where her hair, bordering it like an armorial shield, burst into love locks and waves and curlicues of ash blonde and gold. Her eyes were bright, big, clear, wet and shining. The colour of her cheeks was real, breaking close to the surface from the strong young pump of her heart. Her body hovered delicately on the last edge of childhood. She was almost 18, nearly complete, but the dew was still on her. As sea and sky appeared below them in a thin, hot line, the mother said, "Something tells me we're not going to like this place." "I want to go home anyhow," the girl answered. They both spoke cheerfully, but were obviously without direction and bored by the fact, moreover. Just any direction would not do. They wanted high excitement, not from the necessity of stimulating jaded nerves, but with the avidity of prize-winning schoolchildren who deserve their vacations. "We'll stay here 3 days and then go home. I'll wire right away for steamer tickets." At the hotel, the girl made the reservation in idiomatic but rather flat French, like something remembered. When they were installed on the ground floor, she walked into the glare of the French windows and out a few steps onto the stone veranda that ran the length of the hotel. When she walked, she carried herself like a ballet dancer, not slumped down on her hips but held up in the small of her back. Out there, the hot light clipped close to her shadow and she retreated. It was too bright to see. 50 yards away, the Mediterranean yielded up its pigments, moment by moment, to the brutal sunshine. Below the balustrade, a faded Buick cooked on the hotel drive. Indeed, of all the region, only the beach stirred with activity. 3 British nannies sat knitting the slow pattern of Victorian England, the pattern of the 40s, the 60s and the 80s, into the sweaters and socks, to the tune of gossip as formalised as incantation. Closer to the sea, a dozen persons kept house under striped umbrellas, while their dozen children pursued unintimidated fish through the shallows or lay naked and glistening with coconut oil out in the sun. As Rosemary came onto the beach, a boy of 12 ran past her and dashed into the sea with exultant cries. Feeling the impactive scrutiny of strange faces, she took off her bathrobe and followed. She floated, face down, for a few yards, and finding it shallow, staggered to her feet and plodded forward, dragging slim legs like weights against the resistance of the water. When it was about breast high, she glanced back toward shore. A bald man in a monocle and a pair of tights, his tufted chest thrown out, his brash navel sucked in, was regarding her attentively. As Rosemary returned the gaze, the man dislodged the monocle, which went into hiding amid the facetious whiskers of his chest, and poured himself a glass of something from a bottle in his hand. Rosemary laid her face on the water and swam a choppy little four-beak crawl out to the raft. The water reached up for her, pulled her down tenderly out of the heat, seeped in her hair and ran into the corners of her body. She turned round and round in it, embracing it, wallowing in it. Reaching the raft, she was out of breath, but a tanned woman with very white teeth looked down at her, and Rosemary, suddenly conscious of the raw whiteness of her own body, turned on her back and drifted towards shore. The hairy man holding the bottle spoke to her as she came out. "I say they have sharks out behind the raft." He was of indeterminate nationality, but spoke English with a slow Oxford drawl. "Yesterday they devoured 2 British sailors from the flot at Gulf Juan." "Heavens," exclaimed Rosemary. "They came in for the refuse from the flot." Glazing his eyes to indicate that he had only spoken in order to warn her, he minced off 2 steps and poured himself another drink. Not unpleasantly self-conscious, since there had been a slight sway of attention toward her during this conversation, Rosemary looked for a place to sit. Obviously, each family possessed the strip of sand immediately.